Okay. Well, good morning again. If you don't know who I am, I'm Jesse. I didn't think I was going to be doing this so soon. But hey, when Miles asked, I definitely jumped at the chance. The kids gone? All right, cool. So we've been starting and been going through this sermon series called Sacred. And if we remember, on week one, we talked about sacred time, right? That we began to ask the question, how do we spend our time? And then we kind of realized that we do have a lot of time during our week, but we seem to just always put it in the wrong place. And when Miles was talking about that, I was convicted on the fact because I spend a lot of time on YouTube. Everybody know what YouTube? You get to like spend hours and hours on YouTube. I spend quite a bit of time on Facebook, and I was like, oh, maybe I should cut that thing out. More so than anything, you know, like our cell phones, I was just doing some research that like just in this idea of time and how much time we do have, like we check our cell phones like 150 times a day. It seems like we spend hours and hours, and that this time that we have today got me thinking, is sacred? And I started thinking, what will I begin to do with it? And if you remember on week two, Miles talked about these sacred places and that we begin to explore and discover those places where we meet God. He had this really awesome picture of this thin space that when we go into these places where we meet Jesus, that the gap between heaven and ourselves and our spirit are thin. That there's almost no gap between the connectedness of our hearts and our souls and that of Jesus. It's where we get to interact with the divine, our heavenly Father, his Son, his Spirit. And when we couple these two things together, when we join them together, we get to experience this depthness of peace that gets to fill our soul and should also make us feel a little uncomfortable, that these times that we're together should kind of begin to introspectively ask questions like, what are some things in my life that maybe I should be giving up? How are those times that I'm abusing my time, how are those God honoring? That these kind of shadow sides, these things inside of us, how are we bringing to light those particular corners? And so that's what we've been kind of talking about these last 2 weeks, these ideas of just being by yourself with Jesus and making those times intentional. And today we're going to be talking about sacred relationships. And when I was thinking about this idea of sacred relationships, again, when we start using these words like sacred and divine and relationships, time, it can kind of get a little convoluted and maybe not 100% clear. So when I was trying to think of an example of what a sacred relationship, at least for me, looks like, I thought of these two characters. Sam and Frodo, right? Now, if you're familiar with my interim time here, you probably, in the last year, I pretty much preached all through the Lord of the Rings, basically. You just didn't know it. But this idea of like a sacred relationship, this idea of sacred friendships, I immediately went to Sam and Frodo. And the kind of uniqueness about these two friends is they are incredibly flawed hobbits. Sam is quick to action and speak. He's always the one that's ready. I'm going to save you, Frodo. You know what I mean? He's always like ready to throw a rock at something. And he's always like, you know, when are we eating and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of his actions is very external. He's very quick to action and speech. And then we have Frodo. Good old Frodo Baggins. He is continually second guessing himself. Again, Frodo, in this particular relationship, all of his stuff is internalized within his mind. But if you're not familiar, Frodo gets in possession of this ring, and they have to go on this mission together to destroy this ring. But this bond that keeps them together to go to places that are dangerous, to unknown lands, to interact with people, different races, different, you know, they got elves and all kinds of people out there, people they've only heard about, to do the one thing that is bigger than themselves. And they do this together, this relationship, in order for them to complete their mission is incredibly crucial. So for me, as we kind of continue talking about this idea of sacred relationships, keep Sam and Frodo, because Daniel, there's one more picture, right? Because we look at their entire history, so that's them like on the mission, right? And maybe you have a friend that you're like do things with, and you just kind of always are getting into trouble and mischief. But maybe just one more picture. But I don't know if you all know where this was at the very end when they throw that ring. That's why they're all hot and there's like lava surrounding them, and it's pretty intense. So as we talk about these ideas of sacred relationships, I always kind of go to Sam and Frodo. Because the reality about relationships just in general is we either live with people or we live among people. Because we could be a hermit that lives on a deserted island somewhere, and there's a coconut tree, and you could have like crabs that walk around the beach and stuff like that. And we could be on this island by ourselves and still be in total alignment with God's will. But I don't know about y'all, but I don't own an island where I could just be by myself. For myself, I have a spouse, a beautiful wife. I have kids that drive me crazy. Maybe you have a roommate. Maybe you live with a grandparent. Maybe you live with a friend. And that's one place we're always seen to be with or among people. Say you don't have any of those things. Maybe you go to work. So you have a boss. Maybe you are the boss. Then you have coworkers and clients and accounts payables and human resources and all these kinds of things. So we're always seems that we are living among people. And at least for me, the way that I think about it is, no matter if you're completely isolated, even if you're a hermit that lives on an island, you eventually have to leave your house or your dwelling. Perhaps you go to the grocery store. Perhaps you go to Starbucks every single day. But we are always surrounded by people. Eventually, the sun does have to hit your skin in order for you to get vitamin D. That's an essential nutrient for our body to function correctly. But we are always surrounded by people. And I don't know about you, but, you know, if we think about it, just kind of, a lot of times people are kind of the worst, right? If you think about some of the people in our lives, people are judgmental. People can let us down. People take advantage of our relationships. People just in general make things really messy. So again, we could be on an island all by ourselves. We live our lives just here. But then I start to ask this question, is how many of those people, the people that you do life with, if you do anybody, how many of those people really know you? Like, really, really know you? And in the bulletin, there's a series of questions, this idea of like scary close know you. Like, they know you so well that it's almost predictable. Like, they can predict exactly how you're going to react in certain situations. T and I often use this term, do you have your person? That person that in your life where you can go to every single day if you have a problem, day or night, that you can go and talk things out with them. there's a good chance that most of us don't have that person. Because at least for me in my own life, it's tough to do relationships well with people because I'm afraid of what other people will think, that if they get to know who I really am, that maybe they might not like what they see. So oftentimes what we tend to do is just hide, right? We have two selves. We have our alone self, and then we have like our public self. That we keep those parts of our lives hidden from people. And if there's a lesson that I've learned throughout the years, is that is not healthy. I can't constantly be in this state of hiding because it starts to eat away at my soul. And so let's go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, because I think Paul has something really intriguing to say about this idea of just sacredness, especially about sacred relationships. Colossians 3. And this is going to be a little bit of a review because this Colossians 3 is kind of broken down into two parts. This inner sacredness, this time and space, this time alone with Jesus where we get to meet and converse and experience with him. And the second half has to do with these sacred relationships, the time with each other. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, reads like this. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And then Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. You will share in all of his glory. So Paul kind of sets this tone. He says, remember that your life is not yours, that we should begin to focus on things of heaven and kind of get out of our own mind space. Again, he asks us to remember that what motivates our heart and helps orient our soul to Jesus. Let's continue reading here, verses 5 through 9. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Do not lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and wicked deeds. The things that are listed here are things that we should not want in our lives. If we remember that thin space that Miles talked about, when those things are in our lives, when we don't live in this kind of revitalized life, that thin space gets longer and longer, or deeper, or wider. That'd be it, wider. Again, that connectedness between heaven, Jesus, the divine, his spirit, it's just not there. These are the things that take away from that sacred time and that sacred space. These are the actions and mindsets that divide our relationship with Jesus, and that pours over into our relationships with other. Let's continue reading on here. Verses 10 through 11. It says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. There's always an out. There's always an out in these New Testament scriptures, that we become, and the out is that we get to become this new creation. That if we spend that time in those sacred spaces, that thin space shrinks and shrinks. That we get to renew our soul and our mind. Because, again, at the end of the day, if we do this inner work within our hearts, and we make Christ the center of everything, then we get to hang out with Jesus and be a part of his plan. And at the end, Christ is all that matters anyway. Let's continue reading here, verses 12 through 17. Since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as a member of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Again, this section, these five verses, should be the benchmark for our sacred relationships. These are the things, these attributes, that the relationships that if we call dear and sacred, they should look like this. And they should be, these sacred relationships should be filled with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We should allow ourselves to make mistakes and not be judged or felt cast out. Again, Paul even says, even if you can't do those things, at worst, we should be clothed in love. Our hearts should be in alignment with others and have that completely be covered with love. We should feel like we're on the same team when we are in relationship with each other. Sacred relationships require living this out together. This part that always seems to get missed in a lot of discipleship and a lot of mentoring or just relationships in general, that we are to teach and counsel each other. That we are to form a community or maybe form a fellowship. That these are the keys to spiritual growth. And at least for me in my life and the way that I've approached relationships and discipleship, mentor relationships, I approach it with this kind of teaching and counseling each other mentality. When I engage with somebody, I always say I don't have the answers. I am definitely not holier than the person that I'm meeting with. And I'm not just here to teach the person, because in reality, they can also teach me something too. That when we engage in these relationships, we get to kind of complete the puzzle, the piece. And again, whenever engaging in something that's so sacred that when somebody knows you who you really are, it can get real messy quick. But I think it's worth it. It reminds me of this time just a couple weeks ago where I had a buddy come over. He texted me really late, and he goes, we need to talk. And I said, okay, let's talk. He comes over. We go into our garage, and I could tell he has a few tears in his eyes, and he goes, I think I want to go deeper with this relationship. And I don't know about you all, at least with your relationships, but as a guy, dudes don't say that to other dudes oftentimes. But here we are, me and my buddy, we're in my garage, and we are sitting, and we have this time of vulnerability with each other. We probably sat there for an hour just talking about the different fears that we have, the different things that cause anxiety, the things in our lives that maybe make us apprehensive to maybe developing a friendship further. It was awkward. There was lots of emotions. But I could tell you that that relationship is now sacred. Our relationship is stronger as friends, and it's deeper because of this conversation. But it requires a little bit of boldness. It requires a little bit of humbleness. It requires a lot of bit of vulnerability. And for me, this even rings truer in this vision that T and I have had about Zayo and the church plant process that we are a part of. At its core, this idea of relational community is crucial. That we are about making these connections with people and getting messy, getting big shovels and kind of like scooping everybody's junk out of each other's lives. But these ideas of sacred relationships, and there's a few of them that I have, they not only just transform the person, just like Sam and Frodo, right? If it was only one way, they definitely would not have made it to Mordor to throw the ring in. But there's this mutualness, this mutual discipleship, this mutual community, this sacredness that makes this journey work and complete. And so in your bulletins, there should be a series of three questions in there. They're kind of worded a little funny just to kind of for the shock and awe. Question one, do you live with or among the people in your community? When you go about and you think about your day every single day, you get up, you eat your breakfast, drink your cup of coffee, are you on your own island? When you leave your house, do you just go and do the things that you normally do and then go straight back? And there's no kind of intimacy that you have with another human being. Question two is who are the people in your life that you are scary close to? The people that when you get with your buddy, your friend, they know every detail about your life. Scary, scary close. And maybe you don't have the courage, maybe you're not quite there vulnerability-wise, but if you don't have that person, think of a person that you would like to cultivate a relationship with that looks like what we see in Colossians chapter 3. One that's full of tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A relationship with love. If you're are by yourself and you don't have those things in your life, we're missing something. We're missing a crucial part. So who is someone that you would like to cultivate a sacred relationship with? Who's your person? Who's your Sam to your Frodo? Who's your Frodo to your Sam? And I can tell you with firsthand experience that it's awkward and difficult and messy. But if we walk through all of that, the end result is something that is truly, truly sacred. So what we're going to do, the worship team's going to come on up. And we're going to spend the first song here. You can stay seated. Just kind of thinking about these three questions. We're going to take time to reflect and pray for the person in your life. Again, maybe you've been a Jesus follower for a really long time and you're very spiritually mature. So ask the question, who are you mentoring? Who are you discipling? Who are you intentionally involved in a relationship with, a mutual discipleship relationship? And maybe you're out here all by yourself and it feels lonely and scared. Who is the person that you could see diving deeper with? Because again, we could be by ourselves and still be in God's will. But that's only part of the equation. So again, let's take some time and then I'll go ahead and direct this after the first song. So go ahead.